Right, listen very carefully. Emptiness, of course, this word, this shunyata. And what I'm going to do is read you a different translation of Heart Sutra. Because the Heart Sutra is considered to be the ultimate teaching on the topic of the shunyata. Its full form, of course, is 100,000 verses. And so the Prajnaparamita Hridaya Sutra is the condensed sutra of that entire collection of the Prajnaparamita. So listen very carefully. Prajnaparamita Hridaya Sutra. At one time, the victorious one was on a mountain of the assembly of vultures, and a great number of devout and devotees and the bodhisattvas surrounded him. The Buddha had just left his profound meditation, and he greeted the noble Avalokitesvara, and then asked this question: how must a son or daughter of a noble family behave in accordance with the Prajnaparamita? Side note here, this question was actually had arisen in the mind of Sariputra, and the Buddha knew this, and so he asks Avalokitesvara, the great bodhisattva, on behalf of Sariputra. Avalokitesvara answered him, "The bodhisattva must see it as follows. The five skandhas are by themselves empty, the five aggregates. Form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Form is nothing else but emptiness. Emptiness is nothing else but form. Sensation is emptiness. Emptiness is sensation. Sensation is nothing else but emptiness. And emptiness is none other than sensation. It is the same with perception, mental preparations, and conscious knowledge. Each of them is empty, and emptiness is in them. They are nothing else but this emptiness, and emptiness is nothing else but what they are. Sariputra, all things being empty, there are no characteristics, no lakshanas. There is no birth, no obstruction to birth, there is no impurity, there's no rejection of impurity, and there is nothing completely. Sariputra, if this is so, then in the emptiness there is neither form nor sensation, nor perception, nor mental formation, nor the conscious knowledge. There is neither the eye, nor ear, nor nose, nor tongue, nor body, nor mind. There's neither sound, no odor, no flavor, touch, nor things. There is neither the domain of the eye, nor the domain of the other senses, nor that of mind. There's no ignorance. There's no destruction of ignorance. No aging or death, and no obstruction to old age and death. There's neither pain, nor its origin, nor its suppression. There is neither the way, nor the obtainment of something, nor the non-obtainment. Sariputra bodhisattvas behave according to the teachings of the Prajnaparamita, which point to the way of the non-obtainment. Consequently, they are free from darkness and fear, having gone beyond false views. Likewise, the Buddhas, according to the teachings of the Bodhisattva, in the three periods have attained perfect accomplishment, which has nothing above it, and they have thus become Buddhas. And here is the secret principle without equal, the principle that calms all suffering, the truthful principle, the Prajnaparamita's principle. Garigare paragare parasamgare bodhisattva. Then they give a pragmatic translation, because we know it as gone, gone, way gone, very far gone, mind. Here's how they translate it. Homage to you, knowledge that has gone, gone beyond, and beyond the beyond. I like this translation. I think it's quite profound. So when we are talking about shunyata, this emptiness, it is a very hard thing to understand. Shunyata or emptiness is not nihilistic void. It's not vacuum. It does not imply a total nothingness. At the same, in the opposite, it refers to this state of complete and total potential without any one thing coming into existence. Let me explain that. In the realm of quantum theory, they have this belief that every single decision and every action that you make has a million variations, actually an infinite number of variations. But when you make a decision or you make an action, what you have done is you have collapsed all of the possibilities down to one specific one. And that's the one that you have manifested. It's the action or decision that you have made. So what happens to all the other possibilities? Something very cool. Each one of those possibilities branches off. And in a quote-unquote parallel reality, they take root and they arise. So when you walk into your favorite smorgasbord type place, and the type of salad that you choose to make. Today you pick a tomato. And when you grab that tomato, there is an infinite number of possibilities of what you could be doing with that table. So the possibility of you not choosing that tomato breaks off and manifests in another place. So there, you don't choose the tomato. Instead, you pick the cucumber. And in choosing that cucumber, because you chose that one, because there's a whole pile of them, for each cucumber that was there that you could have chose or not chose, it branches off. So you see what I mean? It becomes this gigantic, infinite web of things that happen. So if we go back to the moment where you walked into the restaurant and you look at the smorgasbord, and before you make one decision, so we just freeze it, right? As if we're watching a film, and we hit pause, and so you're going, no, our video didn't freeze, that's just me pretending, right? So you're frozen. And we say, right now, there is an unlimited potential of what could happen next. Unlimited potential, because even things that we would not even think about happening, like the tongs get close to the tomatoes, and the tomatoes jump up and attack you, or they run away, or a huge dragon pops up and eats your tongs. I mean, it's just ridiculous. The point is that any possibility that you can think up, no matter how crazy or how realistic, all of that is present in that moment before anything is actually done. That's called shunyata. And it's in that that we find liberation. So why then, when we grab the tomato, the only thing that we can see is that we've made our salad with this tomato on there that we chose? Where, how come all the other potentials don't reveal themselves for us? It's because when you make a decision or an action that's made manifest here, that is called a karmic reflection. It is your actual karma that is manifesting now. And that's what arises for you to perceive. All the other unlimited potential that's there, you don't see because you don't have the karmic causes and conditions for any other one of those to arise. Now, this is not fate. Understand that. It's not like this gets forced on you. That's not what happens, because you have to remember, the karma that is arising is a habitual pattern that you've created. So you're seeing the results of your habit, which may be that you have read magazines and whatever. You're taking in all this information on how to be healthy, and the one that you choose tells you that tomatoes are the super fruit now, right? Because every week we have a new super fruit. So the one you've been reading tells you that the little tiny cherry tomato is the super fruit. You eat that and all of a sudden your skin will be good and you won't have, dandruff and whatever. So you're thinking all the time, oh my God, the tomato is the greatest thing. I gotta juice it, make it smoothies, and eat the more pasta, and I gotta put it in ice cream and smear it all over myself and make soap out of it, and you know how the fads go. And so this is what you do, which means the karma of all of this behavior is you're going to go there and most likely choose the tomato to put on your salad. So you manifest that taking in tomato. It's quite absurd, right? When you look at it that way, it's like, wow, that's really crazy. But this is exactly what we do. And so as soon as we don't get the kind of results that we want from the tomato, meaning that after maybe a week or so of doing this with the tomato, or maybe 6 months if you're really hold on to it, you know, I'm going to do that tomato diet, and you really hang on and and to push yourself through, but then after a certain amount of time, you realize that the tomato diet did not end your suffering. It didn't. And here's the crazy thing about it. All media knows that. They also realize, probably faster than you, that this tomato thing doesn't work. And somebody says, well, you know what? I just got off the phone with my uncle, who's a farmer. And he says that the sale for spinach is way down. And they go, that's the new superfood. Because we tell everybody to do spinach, and then the crops start selling and everything's going to go great, and the spinach will save your life. So now you put away all your tomatoes, which are now bad for you. Too much acid, too much this, too much. Don't eat them. Instead, you should eat green things and not red things, specifically spinach. What was it last year? Kale? I don't know. And now we're on to that. And this creates our karmic patterning. Not so much that the media is doing this to us, but that we search for an outer remedy to our problem. Because we don't recognize the shunyata principle. We don't recognize the infinite possibility principle. The infinite possibility principle is that liberation is within yourself at any given time. It's always readily available. And so they say that your liberation is always at hand, but comes from within yourself, not from an external source. Which means if you know how to tap into this, anything at all can become the thing that you can manifest to create the conditions for your realization. Which means you can sit down with an apple and you can investigate that apple and you can look at all of the stories around the apple. But just as you read in the text, or I read to you, that there's no characteristics in emptiness. In shunyata, there are no characteristics. So as you're holding this apple, and you're coming up with every type of characteristic or story or conceptual thought, not just about the apple, but what it could possibly do. The concept of what kind of vitamins or minerals and blah, blah, blah are in there. All of that you begin to recognize. Each one of those is also void in itself. I don't know anything about the vitamins in an apple, but I'm going to pretend that it has vitamin A. I don't know if that's true. It's just the example. So you look at the apple. It's because apple starts with A. So why not make it the vitamin A? Vitamin apple, right? So you have this apple with vitamin apple in it. The issue now is that vitamin A, if we take that out and we set that on the table and investigate that, it is also empty. Because that vitamin A has all unlimited potential also. It's more than what we just made it into. Here's what the Buddha means by all of this. And this is where science kind of has a problem, and so does issues like faith that arise, which is also a problematic concept. Not that there's something wrong with faith, but we tend to have a terrible understanding of what faith is. But here's the issue. Buddha says that what you think becomes. Not just you, but anything. Why? Because what you place your mind on is what collapses your infinite possibility into a possibility that arises. So if you put everything into this vitamin A in a nice little box, vitamin A does this, 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 and this, and doesn't do any of these others, and we ignore everything else, and this is all that it does, you have karmically limited vitamin A to only a relative function. Means you have limited your apple to only that. This is one of the reasons why I love food so much, because you know, you get a really great chef and they're doing something with food that you think can never be done with food. Like when they grill watermelon. Who would have ever thought of grilling watermelon? And yet they do it, and it's fantastic. But it's a crazy concept. No one ever, you can't grill watermelon. Put it on the barbecue and do what? But see, they take something and they do something with it that no one has thought about. Why? Because we've limited watermelon to being this serve it only cold in a cup or a bowl. In the summer. It's not meant to be a hot served food. And then all of a sudden it's this new great thing. Like when you turn an avocado into foam. Why would you turn an avocado into foam? Well, because you need something very delicate for this other thing. But no one ever thought about taking food and turning it into foam. The point is, if we begin to recognize how we limit things, limit them based on our conceptualization, we remove that total potential of that thing being more than what it is. Now, this is something to contemplate about an external thing, but think about your own mind. When you grasp your self-identity, when you grasp what you think, or you think about what you know, and you measure it, and you justify it, and you do all these other certifications with it, and validations, you remove your own potential. And in fact, it's the number one reason we cannot recognize our Buddha nature. Because the Buddha nature is without characteristic, but we cling to the characteristic of us. So the liberation of shunyata, the liberation of emptiness, comes with the idea of letting go of the very thing that limits that unlimited potential. And this is the underlying meaning of the verses on faith mind. To live in accordance with the way is to not limit yourself by any idea or mental construct. And to also not limit all other sentient beings or all other objects by the same thing. And whenever you come in conflict with this, you say there is not duality. There is not limitation and non-limitation. There is only total potential. So I hope that was useful, and that closes out our verses on faith mind study that we've been doing over the last couple weeks. How do we get here? Well, only through meditation, actually. Because you have to have direct immediate experience of this. Anything else we would call, academics or mental masturbation, as my teacher calls it. And that never brings us to direct immediate experience. So we have to hone our meditation. One thing very important is we cannot engage in the practice of finding this emptiness without developing a great sense of compassion and a great sense of loving kindness towards all other beings. If we fail to create those two things, we will always have two. We will always have ourselves and others, and we will never feel like we are a wave within the same sea. We will constantly see ourselves as Pacific Ocean, and everybody else is that little pond that we call Atlantic. Well, if you're from where I'm from, Atlantic is that little pond over on the other side. We're not really sure where it is. It's just far away from us. But if you've ever taken a look at a globe, have you ever seen an ocean that is independent of all other ocean? No, it's very strange. All the water is completely connected. All the seas and all the oceans are completely interconnected. There's no place on planet Earth where there is an independent ocean. So yourself are not independent of all things. And that leads us to transforming our mind towards others. Somebody want to lead that?